The Ira Kaufman podcast is on game day on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We are recording this, though, on Friday night. The Sage has been under the weather. We'll talk to him in a second. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Tampa's first family of Ford is Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, for supporting all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com. And Bill Curry Ford is where you go when you want great service, when you want to visit a family-owned dealership, which is so rare these days, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. But visit them online, BillCurryFord.com. Learn about all the things they have to offer. And that includes an amazing service department where they've got 100 loaner vehicles ready to make your service situation easy. They'll come and pick you up. They'll do some work at your house, if that's possible. BillCurryFord.com. Now, buying a vehicle is so easy at Bill Curry Ford. You've got tremendous help. You've got the Ira Kaufman discount, which is always in effect. Just reach out to Sean Sullivan, the Bill Curry Ford general manager, and they've got transparent pricing, and they have just amazing offers and promotions and quality, including certified pre-owned. BillCurryFord.com. Great financing deals. You'll see it all at BillCurryFord.com. And if you have storm damage, flood, fire, mold, whatever it is that has affected your property, call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7. They'll respond. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there now. Learn all about their services. So when you have a disaster, you know who to call. They're part of your plan. They can become part of your family feeling secure in storm season. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. We're going to talk more about them later. But you should know $500 is waiting for you if you call them and get a free evaluation of what's happening at your property. If you end up using their services, they'll give you cash back. Maybe that's money for your deductible or just cash back for a repair that you get done. Florida'sElitereStoration.com, serving the entire Tampa Bay area, across the state to Orlando and beyond. The Sage himself, still under the weather, Ira, which is very depressing. Lee and I have been very worried about you. But we know that you're back and swinging and trying to get better. Been a long illness, but we're happy you're back. You'll be watching the Buccaneers tomorrow from your bedroom there with an old school ice pack on your head and all that kind of stuff.
Cosmo at my feet.
Cosmo at your feet, behaving himself as he watches the Bucs second stringers. Interesting week. We got plenty to touch on. How are you?
Well, Lee, what am I going to do if Tress throws an interception and Cosmo starts barking? What the hell am I going to do? Tell him he's wrong? We shall see. I'm okay, but I'm not 100%. Lead away, I would put it, out of sorts. Out of sorts. That covers the whole general area. low grade fever, no COVID. We'll see how long it takes to get rid of it. You know, the only day I really felt good was Saturday at the party. Yeah, I had no problems. Fresh as a daisy, giving speeches, shaking hands.
Ira, the important question. With your illness now, how's your appetite?
Well, I just knocked off fish and pasta. There was nothing left on my plate, plus a few leftovers that Cosmo had his eye on, and I took it away from him. So I'm heartless, Steve. I'm heartless when I'm sick.
All right, well, Sage, I got a fun one for you from Jacksonville. You know, I was out there for the joint practice on Wednesday when I found out the Bucs were just going to be literally – No shells. We're just going to be doing this soft walkthrough, as I was told it would be. A little bit underwear, football, and whatever against Jacksonville. I cleared out of there. But the action was on Wednesday. And Ira, so let me set the scene for you here. And I really was in disbelief. Maybe I shouldn't have been. You tell me. So the practice was listed, according to the Jacksonville people, as 9:30 to noon. And they opened up, said, okay, you can go downstairs. Now it's 9:30 out to the field. And, you know, Bucks will be warming up. Teams will be warming up. In Jacksonville, their indoor facility is attached to the fields. So, like, players go in and out. They don't cool down in a tent or a cooler. They just walk into the indoor facility, which kind of has these big garage doors on it. So I get out there, 9:37. I don't see anybody from the Bucks. I'm like, oh, this is weird. Maybe they're having a meeting. You know, maybe he's trying to spare them some of the heat. They're having a meeting and coming out soon. So I talked to
the only person you saw was Pete Prisco. Steve, that's all you saw.
No Pete Prisco, which was surprising.
By the way, Steve, you wrote a hell of a story. on what went on for the delay, and I saw you talk to Gedeky. Excellent reporting has been spot on.
Well, this is the wacky thing, Iris. So I'm out there, right? So, Lee, okay, now picture this, Lee. It's 9:45. I've been talking to Donald Penn, who's doing a coaching internship for the Jaguars. We had a nice chat. 6 minutes in, he says, "Where's Ira?" That's what he says. You know, no joke. No joke. Where's Ira? I said, he's actually under the weather, just had a 70th birthday party. You should text him. And he's like, he touched his hand to his pocket. He's like, "Oh, shit, I forgot. I don't have my phone out here at practice, of course." Anyway, we finished talking. No Bucks. So, okay, Bucks come out. They trickle out and whatever. So, obviously, to me, it didn't sound right. So, I just did the simple thing. Like, I asked a few people, where is everybody? And I ended up being the only person to write about how they had this big traffic delay, got there late, and Todd Bowles implied that messed them up, and Gedeky talked to me about it. I talked to a couple others who gave me some details. I didn't want them to get them in trouble. And Baker Mayfield referenced it on Thursday, Iris. So literally the team got caught in this traffic jam and sort of a weird detour, and they left on time from the hotel, which was nowhere near the stadium, but they should have left earlier, obviously, and somebody kind of messed up, and it screwed up practice a little bit. And what do you think of that?
Well, the first thing I think of, Lee, is you can't take the reporter out of his bits. Lee, that's yeoman work by Steve. Nobody else thought it was interesting to pursue what the hell happened with the Bucks. Where are they? Steve's the only guy that's getting the lowdown. There's a lot of media out there, Lee. You know that.
No one else touched on this?
Nobody touched on it.
That's not just irresponsible. It's idiotic.
It is, Lee. It is.
It's idiotic. And if anybody that covers the Bucks and was out there wants to come at me for that, come at me. That is beyond irresponsible. It's a pretty big deal.
That's bad on them and good on Steve. Steve. I'm proud of him.
Yeah, it was just weird only because, like, I can't pat myself on the back for simply saying, "Hey, where is everybody?" That's not exactly a brilliance, but
that's one of the easiest layup stories there is. And
that's
somewhat
right.
Important. The team doesn't show up for its practice. And they don't even mention that.
Steve, I got to ask you this about Wednesday. From your reporting, Steve, and just in general, were the Bucks that bad? When Wednesday's practice started, it sounded like they were overwhelmed.
No, it wasn't like that at all. I'd say the offensive line of the Bucks was okay, and there were a lot of drops, though. A lot of drops, and I don't know if that could be tied to not the normal warm-up or something like that. I don't know. That's probably just excuses, but a lot of drops. Mayfield wasn't perfect, but he was okay. Trask was okay. The line, were they blowing open a bunch of holes? No. But it was no tackling to the ground and no hitting. No real hard hits there. It was the first joint practice that I've been to ever where there wasn't even a push or a shove. Wasn't necessarily the most physical affair that I've ever seen. The Bucks on defense, they had some of the deer in the headlights look in zone defense came up again. Like guys catching passes for 14 yards and the defensive backs kind of looking at each other. Stuff like that. I forgot his name right now, but the first round pick, the receiver for the Jaguars, was clearly, this guy clearly is an immense talent. And
Brian Thomas.
Yeah, that's right. Brian Thomas Jr. And he was beating a lot of people, but the talent's there. I mean, the guy looks like an absolute beast and he's healthy. Yeah. I can't say they look bad, but it wasn't a spirited practice. It was really kind of weak for what you thought would have been of a pads popping kind of thing. That wasn't it.
Did Rashad White get the football at all on Wednesday?
Yeah, Rashad White was with the first team. Robert Hainsey came out as the starting center again and rotated a bit. White had a couple of runs, but really the Bucks didn't really have any great runs that I saw. Bucky Irving, some nice cuts, and he's got some juice to him. But, the pass blocking was excellent, though. I'll give him that.
Well, Lee, I'm a little concerned. Maybe I'm overblowing this thing, but Lee, the physicality for week one against Washington? I mean, I want these guys to get some good work in, Lee.
Wait, what did you say?
Well, I mean, it's one of the things I was looking forward to with the scrimmage. Some good physical work.
There's a reason why I call it worthless preseason. I'm not really criticizing people. But this is the NFL we live in right now. The goal isn't so much, I don't think, because you never hear him talk about this that much. The goal isn't so much get him in shape, which is what they used to do with training camp years ago. That's why I believe preseason is a relic of the past. Preseason was used because guys actually had real jobs in the offseason, and they would come to camp with beer guts and their pack a day of Chesterfield's habit, and it took them a while to get in football shape. Well, now they're in football shape right away. The goal of preseason, and to a lesser degree training camp, sure seems to be, in most of the NFL, get them the week one healthy.
Yeah, you're right.
Mike Tomlin is a little bit different. Mike Tomlin, he has a saying, if you're going to box, you have to spar. In other words, you better be physical. Not everybody's like him. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. You know, these teams are armed with all kinds of evidence, medical, sports science, you name it. You know, I can't sit here and say they're wrong unless I see it. You know, the Bucs stink the first month of the year. Then okay, they need to point to having a soft preseason. I can't sit here and criticize when I know the Bucs have tons of sports science data they're probably following. If there was a right answer, every team would do it the same. So I really don't know how to comment about this. I'm sort of like in the camp, like, please get me to week one so I can talk about something legitimate.
Steve, I think the three of us, I don't like to assume what you guys are thinking, but Steve, I don't think the three of us would have any problem putting $100 down that 5 years from now is only going to be two preseason games. Steve, you think they'd ever cut back from two, or do you think they'd make their stand with two?
There's no way to know. I mean, it's about money. I don't have access to the figures, Ira, but yeah, it's going to be cut and cut and cut. And we're in a situation now where Todd Bowles believes that he can have a tough guy team without a lot of tough guy practices. And maybe he can. You know, Lee mentioned that he wrote about this. Todd Bowles said they, you know, bounce back mentally and they're getting tougher. And then there's some video out there from Thursday where, you know, there's like a fake pass rush on Trevor Lawrence. And he takes two steps forward after holding the ball for 3.5 seconds and throws to a guy streaking behind the Bucs defense. Like, it's not real, you know. It's just kind of funny. You know, there were some good moments. I thought the Bucs defensive line, when they had pads on Wednesday, was very successful overall, but not off the edges on the pass rush. But Kalijah Kancey now, Ira, has a mysterious injury. They're not talking about it. Trent Soyinka's got his playing with his bad shoulder. He's not practicing going against anybody yet, but he's going through drills and stuff. And
yeah, we don't know about Diaby, right?
Yeah, Diaby's all smiles. I did talk to Diaby, and I asked him, I said, hey, what can you tell fans that they're freaking out that you're not going to play opening day? And he started laughing, and he said, I'll be okay. Believe me, I'll be okay. I'm doing really well, and there's a lot of time. So it doesn't look like he's going to be a big problem, but he might need a couple of games back to shake the rust off, and they can't afford to go 0-2. But Lavonte David, did he look like he was going full speed out there? No. Is that a problem? No. It's just the new NFL. You know, Bruce Arians called it Camp Cupcake, and Todd Bowles has put a little frosting on it.
And when Bowles was on your podcast, I asked him, I said, you know, your format, three practices of a day off, three practices of a day off. I said, is that to mimic the regular season? Which is basically what they do in the regular season. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they practice, and then Saturday, you know, they might have a walkthrough and they'll jump on the plane. And he said, no, their sports science tells them that the fourth and fifth practice in a row is when the injuries pile up. And so that's why he has three practices and a day off, which I'm great at. That meant I didn't have to go 5 days in a row with only 4 hours sleep a night. Thank you, Todd Bowles. Thank you. So I think the Bucs are really relying on data and sports science data to see how they can get their players healthy for week one. Not so much to get in shape, because, you know, they're probably already in shape because they work out all year round, but to get them to week one. It's like a bridge they got to cross. Get to week one. And not so much get in shape or get sharp or get to week one. That's the goal.
I understand, Steve, the health priority, Steve. I do. But Derek Brooks told me this many times, Steve, many times. Looking at the current landscape of practice and the rules and who plays in the preseason, and Brooks was adamant, quote, the tackling in this league in the first month of the season is awful, awful. He says it takes up until about midseason that you're in football shape. You're doing form tackles, and we'll see what happens. But I'll say this, Lee, I hope that's not the case, because I don't know if you noticed this. It was in the middle of one of my columns last week had a bunch of metrics in there. And the Bucs allowed the most yards after the catch in the National Football League. That's driving balls up a wall, Lee. And the perfect example, Lee, is the little 8-yard hitch. And the guy shakes, Jamel Dean, and he goes another 6 yards. I mean, that just drives balls crazy.
As it should. And you know, Brooks says that tackling suffers the first month or 6 weeks. I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'm saying he could probably argue that with a lot of teams, not just 1 month, 4 freaking months. this is NFL in the 21st century, and for whatever reason, they don't coach tackling. And I'm, although Bowles has told me different, and I always hear Pat Kerwin constantly pound the desk that, you know, you have to have physical practices to learn to tackle. You know, I never played in the NFL. I never played outside of high school, but our coach sure had us figured out how to tackle fundamentally, and we were just hitting a sled. And yeah, the stuff that I was taught in high school, basic stuff, how to tackle, they don't even do that in the NFL anymore. And that drives me bananas. And
Steve, of course, Brooks was a form tackler, as was Rondé. And I think maybe Winfield, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Maybe Levante, Steve. But overall,
Levante. Yeah.
Steve, overall, I don't think the Bucs have been a good tackling team.
I think some of the tackling issues are overblown just because of the actual data. Right, if the tackling is so bad, I'm not seeing such a huge difference from the offense. So I don't know how, you know what I'm saying? I'm not seeing huge run-up scores in the first few weeks because tackling's terrible and all the data to back it up. So I don't really know. So I'm just going to leave it at that with that one. But, you know, the Bucs have not been a legendary tackling team in the last couple of years.
Steve, that leads me to the elephant in the room. And I'll state it right now. I'm a little concerned about the Falcons. I'm concerned.
All right, so let me set the stage here, Ira. The Falcons signed Matthew Judon, okay, who played all of 4 games last year for the Patriots. I think he had a bicep tear that knocked him out. And he was trying to renegotiate and get a new contract. And they didn't give it to him. So the Falcons dumped a third-round pick to get him. He's about to turn 32 years old, and of course he had big seasons in 2021, 2022, made the Pro Bowl, 12.5 sacks, 15.5 sacks. The guy's a very talented player, but he wasn't a superstar until those 2 years in a big way. So that's who that is, and then of course they signed Justin Simmons. He's been the biggest ball hawk in the NFL since 2016. Says a lot that the guy got $8 million sitting on the couch until mid-August. Not a lot of street free agents like that pull down that kind of money this late in the game.
And I picked the Bucs to win the division a couple of weeks ago, and I said it doesn't take any courage to pick the Bucs to win the division. I mean, they are the incumbent champs. They signed all their key players. Looks like they had a nice draft. But Lee, I thought the advantage for the Bucs was on defense. I think the Buc defense was better than Atlanta's defense. Yeah, they got Grady Jarrett, A.J., Terrell, the good corner. But they don't have enough players like the Bucs have. The Winfields, the Whiteheads, the Davids. I think Britt's a good player. Cansey, Vea. And now, Lee, they filled 2 spots. Now, can Judon stay healthy? It's a question. You're only going to get a couple. You'll get a couple of years out of him. All right. Atlanta says, okay. Raheem says, bring it on. So, Leah, I think they closed the gap on that side of the ball, and I dare say, and Buck fans aren't going to want to hear it, I think the Falcons are going to score more points than the Bucs. I mean, especially if Cousins stays healthy, Lee. I mean, look at it. The Bucs have better wide receivers. The Falcons have a better line, I think. They have one of the better lines in football. They've got a hell of a back. The Bucs got White. They've got a couple of targets, and Cousins, no matter what you think of him, Lee, when he's healthy, he's at least the equal of Mayfield, if not better. I mean, I don't think I'm stretching here, if healthy. So, Lee, I the Bucs haven't had a good offense the last couple of years. So I was counting on the Bucs' advantage on defense to pull out this division title. And I got to give Atlanta credit, Lee. They're going all in.
Well, yet somehow the lesser quarterback, Baker Mayfield, beat the alleged superior quarterback, Kirk Cousins, on the road to open the season last year.
He did.
I'm not anti-Kirk Cousins, But I'm certainly not on this Kirk Cousins bandwagon where people are trying to make the analogy, oh, it's like Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. They're going to the Super Bowl. Let's calm down, people.
That's nuts.
The same freaking people all over social media, the same people, and I'm not talking about just regular fans. I'm talking about people in NFL media. The same people going bananas about Kirk Cousins in Atlanta are the very same hypocrites that used to rag on Cousins, mock him, make fun of him, that he couldn't win a big game, that he was terrible in prime time, yada, yada, yada. The very same people. So what happened with Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta that all of a sudden he's turned into Dan Marino or Peyton Manning? Give me a break. I'm not convinced he's going to be 100%. He's playing on turf. We saw, us, all Bucks fans, we saw what happened to O.J. Howard. We saw what happened to Shaq Barrett when they blew their Achilles. I know they're not quarterbacks. I know Cousins isn't and never was as athletic as those guys were, and they need them to be athletic as those guys were. But Achilles, some guy used to go bananas with me on Joe Bucks fan all the time when I bring this up, and he could never prove me wrong. An Achilles injury is a major injury. Yes, they might, medical advances have helped guys come back from it, but that doesn't mean this is like fracturing the pinky on your non-throwing hand. This is a major injury.
It is.
Up to any quarterback, they need their feet. They need their feet as far as their motion. When a quarterback loses his feet, loses his legs, he's done. Here's icing on the cake, Ira. I wrote this week. Here's icing on the cake. If Cousins comes out of the gate slow and Atlanta loses two or three games in the first month of the season, that town is going to be screaming for Michael Penix. Screaming. They're going to be going wild. And don't you just love a good old-fashioned quarterback controversy, especially when it's a division rival? They're going to go bananas if they lose a couple games and Cousins is like, eh. Don't want Penix in there.
And one more thing, Lee, to make your point, one more. It doesn't hurt to have Justin Jefferson as your target. It doesn't hurt.
And Addison, too.
Yeah. So, you know, Jefferson, arguably the best receiver in football when healthy. You know, some people might like Tyreek Hill. Some people might like Lamb. You can't go too wrong with Justin Jefferson, right, Lee? The guy's incredible. So, Lee didn't say anything about Simmons. I think Simmons is a quality player, Steve.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying those guys aren't a quality player. Did Atlanta get better? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say this about Judon. Does he have a better resume than anybody else on the Bucks and from edge rusher? Yes, he does. Yeah. Talk up Joe Tryon. You can talk up Braswell. You can talk up Yaya Diaby. But here's the bottom line. To use a wrestling phrase, here's the bottom line. Until they do it, they haven't done it.
And Steve, maybe he's not the greatest locker room guy, Judon.
That's fair.
And, you know, Light's got a lot of contacts, and a lot of them in the New England organization, including Belichick. They're on very good terms. I got to think Light did his due diligence. Why wouldn't he? And, Steve, he passed on Judon. He passed.
I'll just come back to the guy's 32 years old. And he what did he do last year? Nothing. So, I mean, that's a gamble out of the gate. It's also a third-round pick. And the Bucks have confidence in their ability to get to the quarterback in different ways. You know, and that's just, you're not going to shake them of that. You're not going to shake Light from the belief that he's building an incredible young squad that can that should be better next year and the year after and the year after. And, you know, and he feels he'll be prepared when Mike Evans steps away and Levante David steps away. They're going to believe that. I think the Falcons are going to need a lot of luck for both of those guys to work out. I mean, Judon's a real wild card there, also playing on turf. At his age, he's not used to playing on turf. That can mess with guys. And I've heard other things about Judon. He's a huge personality. I don't know if you've seen him co-hosting on, he was on Good Morning Football for a couple of times, co-hosting, extended visits. They love him, a popular guy, big personality. Players like him. And I don't know what might have gone wrong in New England, but he's definitely a well-liked guy. Could be interesting, but I'll say this also. The Falcons, you mentioned Grady Jarrett, Ira. He's coming off an ACL at 31 years old in mid-season last year, and they're counting on him to be Grady Jarrett. Come on.
You know, and I thought that he coordinated Lee. I thought he overachieved last year, and he's gone. Calais Campbell, gone. I mean, I still got questions about Atlanta's defense. There's no question about it.
I got questions all over the place, with the exception of their tight end, the USC receiver, and of course, Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, and they got a pretty good offensive line. Like,
yeah, they do. They have an excellent offensive line. They're all coming back, all five of them. And, you know, they have a lot to prove. I really enjoyed Prickly Pete Prisco and his buddy Ryan Wilson at CBS calling the Falcons a 7-win team. Now, that was before the Simmons deal. But I get what they're trying to do, and I do admire the all-in nature of it. And I'd like to see Jason Light do that kind of thing, because we'd be celebrating right now if they had made the move for Judon. That fans would be. We'd be like, all right, you know, we'll give this a shot. It was worth the shot. That's what we'd be saying.
Gregory's still on the roster.
That's what we'd be saying right now. So I get it's worth a shot for Atlanta, but it's still a long shot, in my opinion, that this guy's going to be able to come back and be a double-digit sack guy.
He has done it when he's healthy. He has done it. And Paul, Shoyinka, Braswell, Watts, whoever else you want to throw in there, they haven't done it, Lee. They haven't done it.
Not yet, no.
All right, Sage, so look, NFL's changing. That's okay. Todd Bowles found a way to get him back to and be strong for opening day last year, so hopefully he can do it again. One thing I wanted to run past you, Ira, this preseason game. So we saw last week they played Logan Hall, they played K.J. Britt. Those, we're probably going to see those guys go again, Cody Mauch, Bredesen, maybe Barton will start, maybe not, based on what was seen at practice. But what do they have to accomplish here? Because, you know, it still means something for coaches and for the decisions that are coming here. And now we've got an injury to Payne Durham that we don't know how long that's going to last. I would love to see the Bucs run out and sign a tight end. You know, there's not a lot of certainly less proven depth there than there is proven at edge rusher.
Lee, one thing I'm going to be looking at tomorrow night, if I can keep my eyes open and I'm not sleepy and thick again, Lee, I think that third receiver is wide open.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I think it's wide open. Steve said Palmer and McMillan both dropped balls on Wednesday, maybe more than one. That didn't help their cause. I'm still a little fascinated with Palmer's speed. Lee, you always mention that metric about his quick start. It's, you know, and Lee, there's something to be said about stretching the field. I mean, there is. You know, McMillan, you know, is a solid, you know, workman, you know, excels over the middle, 12 yards, but I don't see him streaking down the field, Lee, and beating a guy where Palmer could do that. So I think Palmer has a function. Maybe you can use him as a kickoff guy. Maybe. We shall see. But I'm looking at McMillan and Palmer tomorrow night. I want somebody to clearly take the top rung.
I don't know if they're going to have a absolute, no doubt about it, locked up number three receiver. This is why, and I wrote about this morning a little bit. These two guys are like a yin and a yang.
Yeah.
They both possess different qualities. We talked to Palmer. He's very good at stretching the field, but as Mike told you on your podcast, Ira, and what I've been harping on all offseason, just get this guy the ball. Just get this guy the ball and you know, short passes. Only thing he needs to do is make one guy miss with his speed. He's going to do damage. And I always cite the Eagles playoff, where he caught like a 7-yard pass, made a guy miss, off to the races. This guy's that guy. He's got that kind of speed, and I hope they utilize that more than just having him stretch the field. That's one. But McMillan is just the opposite. What I mean by that is he's more of a slot receiver, more of a possession receiver. He's very good at getting open. He's very good at catching. Palmer kind of struggles at times catching, which is kind of not—it's not a minor issue for a receiver. McMillan is more of a possession receiver, but he does get open and he does catch. So they're like just—I don't know—opposites, right? But they're the yin and the yang. So I don't know if we're ever going to see a true number three receiver. I think there's going to be some games where McMillan's on the field on the first drive. Other games you'll see Palmer on the field in the first drive. Both guys are going to get a lot of snaps.
I got to weigh in on this, Steve, because I think we've given the Bucs a pass on something that happened last year. Somebody's got to take the fall, Lee. Somebody's got to, Lee, and Godfather 1, somebody's got to answer for Santini. Somebody's got to answer for him. And it was poor Carlo. Well, what genius decided that Chris Godwin's going to be better on the flanks than in the slot? We've given them a pass on this. I mean, the whole freaking season, I think it really hurt the offense. It hurt them. And, I mean, they're famous sometimes for experimenting and moving guys around. And, Steve, have you gotten to the bottom of this? I just didn't understand the logic, and I still don't.
Well, we've talked about it many times. I'm not going to reopen the investigation right now, Ira. For me, personally, it falls on the same guy who moved Antoine Winfield out of safety. That's a head coaching decision. It qualifies as a major decision, and that falls on the head coach. So Todd Bowles decided Chris Godwin was going to move outside. And we've heard some comments before and some rumblings. There were rumblings on ESPN from big names that we know talked to the people at One Buck that they were trying to protect Godwin. You know, less collisions, less blocking. He still played in the middle, maybe 30% of the snaps, you know, versus 75. But it was a Todd Bowles decision in my mind.
You play to a guy's strengths, period. You play to his strength.
I agree with you, but I also agree with Steve. The buck stops on Todd Bowles' desk. He could have very easily had Canales come to his office and he's like, Dave, no more Godwin playing outside. But when Chris Godwin's wife went crazy on social media, on Instagram, and they decided, well, you know, maybe we ought to have Chris at slot. The next game was the Packers game. We all saw what happened. That offense exploded. Now, I tend to agree with Steve that at the end of the day, that's Todd Bowles' call. Todd, you're the head coach. If you didn't want that, you could very easily have stopped.
Play do you buy Steve's argument that they were trying to protect Godwin's health?
Makes sense.
I think he's going to have a big year this year.
The first day of practice, I can't remember who I told him. I go, well, this guy doesn't need any training camp. He's ready to go right now. Him and Evans were ready to go day one of training camp. But they were ready for the season.
Sage, for the same reason, you've got Todd Bowles also deserves credit. He could have put his foot down and said, I'm not moving Tristan Wirfs out of right tackle. It's not happening. Get me a left tackle. He didn't do that. And same thing for, you know, Kate Otten, who played 97% of the snaps at tight end, which is absolutely insane. That's because Todd Bowles said, look, I'm not pulling him out. This guy can handle it. Just ride him. We'll burn him out. I don't care. That's what we're doing this year. So,
and he actually played better later in the season.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting.
So,
hey, I got a quick question, Steve. Suppose it's 3rd and 8 midfield, and here comes Tyke Smith at nickel. I got five DBs. Wait, is KG Britt still on the field on 3rd and 8, or does he take a seat?
I've never asked anybody that, but I think last year they pulled him off the field, didn't they?
I don't think coverage is a strength, right, Steve? I don't think it's a strength, dropping into coverage.
No, it's not. There's no evidence of it anyway. Excuse me. It doesn't mean he can't do it, but
right. Unless
they decide this is the year that they don't play, you know, typically Levante David and Devin White would play every snap. So I'm not really sure what you're talking about coming off the field because they only had two linebackers. I don't think the numbers necessarily add up, but I know what you're saying. You know, if you listen to Bowles, he'll be like, oh, well, Servassier Dennis is going to be a big part of the defense. And this guy, big. If you start adding up the numbers of all the guys he says are going to be a big part of the defense, it doesn't really add up.
Hey, Lee, how come you say you're a little down on Servassier Dennis, Lee? What's going on there?
He doesn't play.
I can't answer. He's got to get on the field. He's a hot tub all-star.
How's your hot tub, Ira?
It's empty. It's empty. It's absolutely empty. We'll be refilled after Halloween, and hopefully I'm over this damn bug, and I can hop in there.
Hey, speaking of hot tubs, a guy I think is hot tubbing himself out of a job is this Edmonds, Chase Edmonds.
You can't find him with a magnifying glass.
He practiced, what, 2-3 times the first week of training camp?
No, he hasn't.
Out ever since?
He hasn't practiced at all. You know, Whitehead still is not doing contact work. Not sure what that's all about. You know, this is the year of the, you know, mystery, this season, rather, of mystery injuries. I tried to find out in a few different ways what's going on with Kancey. Nobody would even breathe a word of what that's all about. Hopefully it's not his back. All right, Sage, the hot tub, just don't send us any pictures. And, of course, if you have fire damage, mold, storm damage, flood, water damage, whatever it is, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7, no hesitation. 24/7, they're going to come out to your property with all the latest technology and figure out what's going on and assess it and determine if this is something that insurance can cover. And they'll work as your offensive coordinator with the insurance company to battle and make sure you're not getting caught in the corrupt system to get the money that you have paid for, that you deserve, to restore your property, which, of course, is your greatest asset. The Kaufman Castle, did you have a greater asset than that, Ira?
I got a couple of columns that I wrote in 1988 that I've got framed. How do you like that, Steve?
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get to their website today. Call them. And that means if you're in the Tampa Bay area or across the state, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Check out their Google reviews. They're fantastic. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you call, and you get $500 back if you eventually move forward and need their services. And of course, as we heard earlier, our great friends at BillCurryFord.com, new inventory, used inventory. They've got tremendous prices. They've got their certified collision center. They've got all these certified used vehicles. I'm almost in the market again, Ira. I'm getting ready. Sean Sullivan has the Ira Kaufman discount for everybody who asks for it, and you'd be crazy not to ask for it. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, so Prickly Pete Prisco, in addition to picking the Falcons to win seven games, now, Prickly, I believe it came up on CBS when I was watching him in this segment. I believe he's 65 years old, Ira, so he's in your ballpark. He's in your ballpark, wow. Prickly Pete. Now, but he's been around a long time, incredible guy. I saw him at $1 this year, and what he did was, Ira, he was on this segment talking about the Bucks and the NFC South, and he said he was talking to players, and they like Baker Mayfield more than they like Tom Brady. He said that as not as a quarterback, per se. He didn't say, oh, they love Brady as a quarterback more than Mayfield, but he said that as a guy, and that Brady was, quote, a little standoffish. They pushed him on it on the panel, and he said no. He said no, this is what he was told and guys he was talking to, and he went back down. And the message was that, you know, the roster bonds more with Mayfield. What do you make of all that?
I think clearly they have to be talking about 2022. I think. I mean, the first 2 years were magical, even the second year. Scoring 30 points a game. They're winning all kinds of games. They're very competitive in the playoffs. And Brady was driven. Brady was Brady. Well, he wasn't in 2022. We all saw it. We all saw it early in training camp when he didn't show up. So I think that's what they're talking about, Lee. I'd be surprised if they weren't. On a general scale, Lee, maybe Mayfield's more, blue collar. I could see it. You know, Brady, California, came from a little money. But, I'm sure they're talking about 2022 when Brady lost his weight, Lee. And as you've written, it's not a stretch to say Mayfield had a better year last year than Brady did in 2022. That's not a stretch.
I think what this issue is, it's general. If they, you know, I don't think they're specifying, well, in 2020, he was, you know, Tom Brady was, man, he buying us all Christmas gifts and he showed up with bridal showers. No, I think it's in general what they're talking about, personality-wise. And I could absolutely see that. Now, Mayfield goes to Rays games with teammates. We know he goes to a couple of certain bars in South Tampa, or, you know, he goes with other teammates. He's more of a teammate guy. Tom Brady was Tom Brady, if you think about it. He came in, he's Mr. Businessman, he's Mr. Mogul, he's Mr. Hollywood Producer. He's got his fingers in all kinds of other stuff besides football. I saw it in my own eyes. He always came out to practice 20 minutes after the rest of the team. He didn't warm up with the rest of the team. You know, it was like Brady's rules and there was the Bucks. I could absolutely see what these guys are saying. In fact, Ira, what year, because I know you were going wild about this, what year did they finally open up the locker room after the virus for us to go back in there? When was that? Was that 2021 or 2022?
I think it was 2022.
So 2022, I would go up to $1 during the season twice a week. Not once did I see Tom Brady in the locker room. Not once. Never saw him in the locker room. So, if he was real buddy-buddy and a real teammate and a real part of the family, and I would have at least seen him in there once in 4 months. I did not see him in there. Tom Brady was Tom Brady, Inc. He's a multimillionaire, maybe pushing a billionaire. Guy talking about buying yachts. Guy talking about buying a piece of an NFL team. Guy's a movie producer. Mayfield was one of them.
Steve, may I close on a personal note, Stephen?
Of course.
All right. One of the highlights of the Saturday night party/roast that Steve Isbitz put together so craftily, was being able to sit down with Sean Sullivan at the table with me and my wife for about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, towards the end. And Sean Sullivan's son, and Lee, I hope you got to meet him. Steve, this kid's fantastic. Sullivan's kid is fantastic. I was asking him math questions. I said, if Mayfield hits 11 out of 25 passes, what's his pass percentage? He immediately said 44%. Very sharp.
You're a real hit at parties. You should be running little kids' birthday parties.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. You're at a birthday party in a bar, and he's talking math to a kid.
You want me to dress up in a clown outfit, too, Steve? Is that what you want?
What a fun guy.
But anyway, Sean Sullivan's kid was fantastic. Him and his wife have done a great job with that kid, and I just wanted to throw that out there.
Hey, that's really nice, Ari. That's very nice. I enjoyed seeing Sean's son. I didn't ask him any history questions, but next time I'm coming prepared, I'll tell you that. All right, Ira, look, feel better. We appreciate you working when you're sick like this. We know it's been a rough week, and we know next week's going to be better. So how about that?
Thanks, guys, and I'll see you out at One Buck.